Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Ma Anand Amrita. Amrita is a long-term Osho sannyasin. She runs a radio program called Osho Radio, and also Amrita translated some Osho's books in Dutch language. I'm so happy to have Amrita on the show, and I hope you enjoy it. Amrita, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Fine. I'm fine. Thank you, Swaram.
Amrita, as a starter, tell us a bit about you and your story before meeting Osho.
Oh, this is funny. Nobody asked me this question for a long time. Actually, it's hard to remember, Swaram, because it seems like a very short life before I met Osho. And after I met Osho, it seems like many lives, you know? So, yeah, before Osho, there was like family life and struggles with the mind and all this kind of stuff, you know? And not enough celebration, and it's a long time ago, and actually it's not so much present anymore, this before Osho era. So I was so happy to meet Osho and leave all that behind, and just be able to live a life of celebration according to what Osho was saying all the time.
Okay, amazing. So it looks like really there is a clear cut from the past, and that's exactly the meaning of sannyas, forgetting about the previous life and starting a new life with Osho. So, but would you like to share with us how you've come across Osho? Was it when you were living in Holland, or how did you end up in India and took sannyas?
I was traveling in South America for 2 years, and really in search of, let's say, medicinal plants, shamanism, Indians. At that time, you had a guy called Carlos Castaneda, and he introduced the West to the rituals of the Indians, and there are some spiritual aspects about it. And then at a certain point, I was traveling with my husband at the time, and at a certain point we had the feeling we were in the wrong part of the world, so we went back home. And then where we ended up, a new place to live, all of a sudden there were these red people all around, and in no time we were introduced to a small center in the east of Holland. And from there on it went really quick, you know. I had a small daughter. And, we went to India in turns and came back as sannyasins. This was in 1981.
That was just before Osho went into silence and moved to the USA, correct?
Yeah, really. I came there and, after all this longing, and I wanted to have a child first, you know, biological conditioning and so on. And so I sort of delayed, and then finally I got there in February 1981. And he went into silence, and I said, oh my God, I came too late, you know, I missed, and all this drama, you know. And even worse, he left on the 1st of May to America. You know, I was there the day he left, and his car, it just drove out the main gate, and he was gone, you know, and everybody was at a loss. And me also, I was there in India and not knowing what to do. I was just a brand new sannyasin, and it was all shock after shock, you see. So, it was a very spectacular time, I can say.
It's really very symbolic of life with Osho. It's very shocking, and you never can expect what comes next. So what happened to you? Did you go back home, or did you stay in India, or did you live with Osho in Oregon?
I went back home trying to figure out what the next step had to be. And of course, the next step could only be go where Osho was, you know. So that was America. And we were waiting like hungrily for the first festival and the first opportunity to go there, because first they had to build and all that. And I went to the festivals, to two of the festivals, and I went to also to live there in the end, let's say, last winter for 2 months.
Okay, so let's jump and talk about what you're doing today, which is something really amazing. You run Osho Radio, and I'm really curious. I want to hear all about it. And the first thing I want to share with you is that I feel so much love and respect for Osho coming from you when you talk and when you introduce his discourses. It seems to me that in the way you talk about Osho, there is awareness that you are talking about a great master. And when you put Osho discourses, it's something like, now the master speaks, get ready to receive Osho. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Definitely. When I started to become a part of making Osho Radio, well, no, even before that, you know, I was working, really working all the time. And I would come home on Friday afternoon, close the curtains, lay down on my bed and turn on Osho Radio. And then I was in another world, you know. And at a certain point, the team invited me also to take part in making the radio. And then I just wanted to pass on that feeling for people, especially in remote places or hardworking people, that they would have a break with everything and just close their eyes and like you said, receive Osho and the program and just start their weekend or whatever, you know, in a different way.
Okay, so sounds like some other sannyasin started this project and then you took over at some point. Would you like to tell us a bit about the story of how Osho Radio came about and when you jumped in?
It started at the beginning of the 90s after Osho left his body. And then here in Amsterdam, people started from the Osho commune, they started Osho Radio and Osho TV on a local radio and television station. So we went to the studio every week to make a live program there. And then there are different people doing it one after the other. And at a certain point, I jumped in at the beginning of the 1993, probably. And slowly, everybody disappeared. And some new people came in. And Indian sannyasins helped us also to make an Indian Hindu program and helped it with the Osho Radio apps, which are not active at the moment. And we sort of left the local radio station and went on the internet when this became possible, let's say in 1998. And like you say, the way I make the program is I experimented a lot with that. But, of course, the discourse is the most important part, the main part of the program and the starting point also. And I experimented with editing the discourse, which kind of discourse. But I don't like to edit Osho's words at all. So the discourses in Pune too, they have a lot of silences. And some of them are very beautiful, but the silences on the local radio, they, you know, if you make a silence on a local radio, they don't accept that. They put like heavy duty music all of a sudden because they think, wow, the program is blocking. And so I tried to edit those discourses with the silences, but it was a complete disaster. So actually what I'm doing is I'm just using the fiery discourses from Pune One. And as uneditedly as possible, you know. And then from there, I just look for the music. And I try not to say too many things like my interpretation or giving any direction, because I know from my own experience that whatever Osho is saying or the silences, you know, if you just receive it, like you said before, then it has a different meaning and for everybody.
My beloved Chetna, my partner, has been listening to your show for many, many years, and especially in the morning before going to work. It gets her very inspired and she finds it really, really helpful. And there is some sort of synchronicity with the discourses you put and what she needs to hear on that particular day. The last example is very recent and is the theme of death. Your friend recently passed away and you put a discourse on death. And that was the exact date of the anniversary of Chetna's father's death. So do you have other people reporting to you the same synchronicity, meaning that they hear Osho's discourse on a particular theme that is important for them on that particular day?
For me, it's a very important energy phenomenon, let's say, because if there is synchronicity, you know, at least from my feeling, you know that you're on the right path. So it's good to hear this. And making the program, for me, I go totally into that space. And actually, if you're aware, there is synchronicity all around, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, it's always been like this with books. Sometimes I have a question or something that is bothering me or just something that it's important inside for my personal development. And then I go accidentally and pick up an Osho book. I open the page, I start reading, and Osho is talking to me on that particular thing that is helpful for me in that moment. And it's magical. I don't know how to explain it. And it's happening with your show. With the radio, and it's very, very beautiful. Amrita, how do you select the discourses? What is guiding you in the choice you make?
In the past, I was sort of selecting discourses and having a certain order of things, you know. But I don't do that anymore. I'm more like, okay, what is my mood today? Or it starts already sort of working a few days before I look forward to making it, and something starts working in me, and then a word comes up or a concept. And then I look it up in, I have an index of all Osho discourses, and then I look it up on paper or on the computer, what kind of discourses are related to that word or to that concept. And then the first hit, let's say, that hits me, you know, it has to resonate with me. And then I sort of go along with that. And then it goes by itself, basically. Let your inspiration run free and then see how it comes together. And then that's how it goes. It's a very intuitive thing, Swaram. I don't have a system. And as you know, Osho is, there's no end to Osho. Like you said, you open a book and you get hit by something that you think, oh, that resonates with me, right? And it's the same for me. I just let it resonate, and then it's party time.
Party time. I love that.
Yes.
So, Amrita, what inspires you? Why you're doing Osho Radio?
Well, I started it, and I like it so much, and I still like it, and I cannot imagine that I will not like it. So I think the same goes for a friend here who makes Osho Television. We are sort of, this is our thing, you know, this is the big love of our life, as in creating something, right? So we cannot imagine that we will ever stop. For me, it's also like that. It's I'm looking forward to spend a day with myself, making the program and being in the with Osho's energy and the music. And I like it so much. Why would I? That's the only reason.
And from the receiving side, I'd like to let you know that for me, Osho Radio is a device for meditation. Is this something intentional that you want to do for others, or is it just happening?
When I was working really, really hard and sometimes really being exhausted, and then I would come home and then could listen to the Osho Radio program, was really important for me to. This was shortly after Osho left his body. Yeah? So it was really important for me to sort of keep the energy going and to stay connected with that, with Osho's energy and everything. It was such a big thing for me at the time. And I just wanted to pass this on to other people as well. And this kind of response I do get, you know, that people, for them it's a highlight to listen to the program because their personal circumstances or their work, their job or their life is not always so easy. And then they can listen to the program and maybe they put on some candle or whatever, and and they can just relax and take a deep breath and then just continue with their life, you know, from a different angle. And
another thing I've noticed about your program is that you give lots of space to music produced by Osho sannyasins. It's almost like you're promoting Osho musicians. Is this done on purpose?
Yeah, definitely, because there's a lot of beautiful music. It is endless. There's so much beautiful music, even from the early days, you know, like Poonawan or Rajneeshpuram. And when we were playing on the radio here in Amsterdam, there were people who said, okay, let's play Bob Marley, you know, or let's play this or that. And I was always very strict and maybe Calvinistic in this. I said, no, I want only Osho music. And this this is, for me, is really important because I find that the Osho music really goes well with the discourse. And otherwise, if I listen to other people's other music, it would not be the same thing, you know? There would not be this strong personal connection. And for me, it would become a mind thing also. And now it is more like, yeah, I can feel when the people are singing or when they make a music for Osho or around Osho that it is really, it fits with the program as I see it.
Definitely. From my point of view, when I hear the music, is already energy starts flowing because that music is charged. It's been played for Osho when Osho was in the body. So it's not just any music, and it's definitely part of the whole picture. So thank you for that. Yes. It's amazing. I love it. Amrita, let's talk a little bit about Osho in Holland today. So I understand you live in Holland, in Amsterdam. If I'm not wrong, during the time when Osho was in the body in the 70s and 80s, there were lots of Dutch sannyasins. The Osho movement was very alive and vibrant. How is the situation today?
Where I live in Amsterdam, there's an Osho commune where about 20 people live. There is, you know, like therapy groups led by sannyasins in the rest of Holland and some small centers. We have an Osho festival once a year. Many new young people come, and young people still are looking for Osho and come to centers and take sannyas, and like steadily this is happening, you know. And maybe also because we're not wearing red clothes anymore, you don't recognize each other on the street, maybe from the bright light in their eyes, but not from the clothes. So I think there are many people, but you don't see it as much as you could recognize them in those days, you know. Let me tell you, for instance, that about my friend. I told you my friend just passed away. And he was a sannyasin and his wife also. And there was me, maybe two, three other sannyasins. And the rest were just, like, let's say, ordinary family. And so somebody said, why are there so few sannyasins at his funeral, you know? And I said, yeah, but I'm sure we were with maybe four or five people that the people felt the energy that was there. Was so much Osho energy there. And everybody was like so happy and so elated and like it was like, yeah, maybe they didn't understand where that energy was coming from. But for me, it was totally clear that notwithstanding all the traditional, it was a traditional funeral, let's say. Notwithstanding that, the energy touched everybody that, and maybe they thought it was him or this or that, but for the sannyasins that were there, it was very clear that it was a total let go energy.
So you mentioned before about Rajneeshpuram and you live there for a while. Have you seen Wild Wild Country?
And yes, I've seen it twice now.
Twice, okay. So what's your take on that?
I thought it was made in a very sensational way. And actually, one of these days, I saw an interview with Meten about Wild Wild Country, and it hit me that he said, this documentary was made about good and bad. And I thought that was really well said, because Rajneeshpuram wasn't about good and bad at all, of course. it was about totally different things, being with the master and really putting out his vision in everything, you know, in the building, in the food, in the music, in the festivals, in the way we live together. And this movie is just, what people like to see about the tension and sex and violence. And in that sense, it's I feel a little bit ashamed, you know, not about what happened, but that it's been put out like that, like a bestseller, and not at all about Osho and his vision. But did you like it?
I think, yeah, as you said, the angle was sensational, but that's marketing. You know, these guys had to make something to attract people's attention and get many views and get more subscribers to Netflix. And I think they achieved that for sure. They created lots of noise, did an amazing job in terms of promoting, also on social media. Think that there will be people who don't know anything about Osho will watch the movie and somehow they will catch something and they will be attracted to Osho. So I think even if few of these people who will watch, they will then get Osho's message. That's a great service at Worldwide Country. And in general, it sparked lots of interest around Osho, positive anyway, even if it's bad press.
Definitely. Yes. Osho always said negative press is also good publication, you know. So, definitely. It will bring some people closer to Osho, yeah.
What are your current projects? Do you have anything planned? Are you working in addition to Osho Radio? Are you doing anything else? Are you planning any new additions to Osho Radio or your program?
Well, yeah, I always have enough plans. A friend of mine asked me to write a timeline for Rajneesh Puram, let's say more from the point of view of the sannyasins than in the way they did it in Wild Wild Country. They put all facts and timeline is not always correct. Eh? They put things, they mixed things to make it more sensational, this and that. So I have to work on that. I'm working on that. But for the radio, I would like to reinstall the apps on my website. I would like to update the website, but this is a technical story as well. I'm not a technical person at all, so at least not a computer person. And I'm still dreaming about doing a better job, you know, so that I can maybe reach more people or let more people be part also of the making or just the listening. I need help for that.
Okay, hopefully some young sannyasin or anyone listening to the podcast will get inspired and someone tech savvy will approach you and offer help. Where people can find you? What's the website of Osho Radio?
The website of Osho Radio is oshoradio.net. And there they can also send an email to info@oshoradio.net. Or amrita@oshoradio.net.
Okay, brilliant. And I'll link the website in the notes of the show.
Great.
So we are heading towards the end of the show, and I've got three final questions for you. And the first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
My ritual is just taking it easy, drinking 2 glasses of warm water, eating fruits, sort of putter about and finding where I find myself at in the moment in the morning. And that is when I have nothing to do, nowhere to go. And that is the best, actually. And then maybe do some yoga or some household things, and at a certain point I just leave the house or go on my bicycle, which is one of my greatest meditations also, to go on the bicycle in Amsterdem. It needs a lot of awareness.
That's very Dutch.
Yes.
Very Dutch thing to do. And it's very beautiful. I love cycling and used to cycle in London, even though it's not the same as Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And also here in Singapore, I do as much as possible, even though it's so hot that you have a sauna, but it's a still beautiful thing to do. And here it's easy because it's all flat. It's very flat in Singapore. So It's a nice to cycle.
And everybody is going very, very fast in Amsterdam, and I'm going rather slow. So, because for me, bicycling is more about landing and getting, you know, grounded, and I get a lot of inspiration on the bicycle, so I'm not heading for a certain goal. And it's a nice, but like you said, it's very Dutch, you know, it's like an extended part of my body. It's not really physical exercise.
Yeah, and I hope it will spread in many more cities because it's a beautiful habit, and you're a great example of this. The second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
My favorite meditation is definitely dynamic meditation, because it stirs up so much and it can just really do miracles, you know. And I did for many, many years, but I'm not doing any more at the moment. What I'm doing, if I'm doing Osho meditation, is Nada Brahma meditation, because the humming and the sound to get in touch with your body. Also, it's very healing meditation. We did also humming for my friend when he was leaving the body. It's a very great thing to stay grounded for the people around the person also that is dying, you know. And so I adjust the meditation to the circumstances. In the winter, I might do some Guru Shankar meditation and Kundalini meditation. It depends a little bit on the season and, yeah, you know, what I feel I need.
The last question is, you live the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2018?
In 2018, nothing has really changed. But maybe the energy shifted a little bit from, you know, going outside to stay more to staying inside, and not only watching but also really staying with the energy inside. But for me, still there is a special Osho energy, and it comes out immediately when you're together with other sannyasins, even if you don't know them. And that is still a miracle, right? Even now we are talking, you're in Singapore, I'm in Amsterdam. How is it possible? But it happens. That's how it is for me right now.
Okay, thank you so much, Amrita. So that's the end of the show. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. I really want to thank you so much for what you're doing with Osho Radio. It's amazing to connect with Osho Energy through your program. As I said, Chetna listens to your program all the time for many years, and inevitably I also do, because she does it in the morning, and even though I don't actively...
You have to.
I have to, so it's in my bedroom. So,
unconsciously, yeah, it's working.
It definitely, it works, and I catch even just few words of Osho, and the quality of the day changes, you know, because it's so important for us to listen to Osho every day. Otherwise, the mind tends to be negative and go back to the beaten path. So Osho is always there with the Zen stick to remind us to be aware and wake up. So Amrita, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure. Keep up the amazing work you're doing with Osho Radio.
Thank you, Swaram. Say hello to Chetna from me.
Will do. Big hug and lots of love.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Love Osho podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit loveosho.com for new episodes, blogs, and much more.